Boom, boom. It is time for yet another edition of Curmudgeon's Corner. You've got Sam Minter here with a nice cold. My whole family has a cold. And Yvonne Bow. Hello, Yvonne.
Aloha.
And we have got an exciting show for you lined up today. We're going to talk a little bit
about... Woo! Excitement! Yeah! Excitement.
Okay.
We're going to talk a little bit about Steve Jobs. Apple's last results, and presumably when we talk about Steve Jobs, implications for the future as well. Keith Olbermann quit/was fired/ mutually agreed to end their contract on Friday with MSNBC. We'll talk a little bit about TiVo and DirecTV. If we have time, we might get into some other stuff about state bankruptcy and Google, but only if we have time. So let's jump right in with Steve Jobs. Early this last week, I should mention we're recording this on Sunday, January 23rd, 2011. Okay. Early in the last week, Steve Jobs announced that once again he was taking a leave of absence for medical reasons. This is, what, the third time in the last few years? The last time he was out, he ended up having a liver transplant before he came back.
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
In 04, I think it was 03, 04. Well, 04 was when the first thing happened, that they discovered the cancer.
Yeah, he had pancreatic cancer, which is normally very, very quickly fatal, but he had a fairly rare form of it that's actually survivable for a longer period of time. His goodbye note said basically he'll still be involved in sort of high-level strategic decisions from time to time, but that he was handing over day-to-day operations of Apple, and that he loved Apple very much and hoped to be back as soon as possible. But and basically asked for folks to respect his privacy. Because, you know, they're not releasing any more details or information or whatever, which, of course, of course he doesn't want to release everything. It's his privacy, whatever. But the end result of that is tons and tons of speculation.
Correct.
Yeah. You
know, which we will add to at this stage. Yes. There we go.
I'll start by saying, you know, my first comment, I tossed off an email to Yvonne soon after I saw this that said basically, you know, I don't think he's coming back this time. There's only so many times you can dodge the bullet.
I don't know. You know, I've known plenty of people with continuous back and forth health problems.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I tell you, I got one of the guys who was in my property management company. I don't know. I've known the guy for, talking about how many surgeries he's had over the last 20 years. He had a heart attack. He had this. He had the other thing. He had I'm like, geez, you know, some people, you get older, you have health problems. I mean, you battle through them. I mean, you know, obviously he's been battling through his.
And certainly he's in a position where he can get the best medical care available on the planet.
So. Right. Which he apparently has certainly looked at, tried to take advantage of. I think that's one of the – why people said why he went to Tennessee in order to get that
– Kentucky.
States to try to get that a transplant.
And he got a lot of criticism at the time basically saying, you know, hey, other people can't do this. Basically what it is the list for organ transplants is divided by state. So he essentially picked the state with the shortest line and moved there.
So basically, if I can find a way to save my own life, which is not like, by the way, by paying off people or whatever, just by relocating somewhere, I'm not going to do that. There are a lot of people, that go to other states to get certain health care that they can't. There's people that go to Canada to buy their medications, or Mexico. There's people that go and like travel to the United States to go to Cleveland or Houston in order to get better heart. They've got centers there for heart. You know, that are well recognized for their expertise in heart, for heart transplants.
Right.
There's a lot of other people that are indigent that actually get people to raise money so they can go to the best place to go to get the best fucking health care, for crying out loud. Oh, no. Yeah, I know. I've got multi-billions of dollars, but I'm going to make sure I stay, you know, in the place with, you know, that I have the lowest shot of getting a fucking transplant. Are you fucking kidding me? Really? Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. Let me let myself die faster because, you know, I want to be altruistic. Oh, give me a break. Jeez. You know, I mean, you do what you can. I'd fucking move if I had to. I'd fucking do it in a heartbeat. So,
yeah, I mean, bottom line, if I had the resources, if I was in a situation where, you know, I had a life and death, you know, decision to make and there was opportunities that had a good shot that were available elsewhere, not where I am, if I had the resources to do it, I'd certainly move around.
If I had to go to Kentucky, okay, I'm sure that I could work. I know that I could tell my boss, look, I need to work remotely from Kentucky for the next couple of months. I'm sorry. I need a transplant. My boss would be, okay. see you when you get back. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Anyway, it's all about it matter. If I had the resources to do whatever, you know, I would use what resources I had. Sorry if it's selfish, but, you know.
I mean, yeah, I'm sorry I'm being selfish about survival. Thank jeez. I mean, you know, it's not like he went, oh, he secretly bribed hospital officials so he could get ahead of the other people in the transplant list. No, that's not what he did. You know, I get the need to get the fuck over it. But, you know, aside from that, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm remembering another employee that we had at HB that spent 10 years battling different types of cancer and different types of things. They're still alive. They're actually right now they're in pretty decent shape, but you know, it's been a 10-year saga or longer of this, mm-hmm. You know? And they've had, you know, things have gotten great and have been at work and then they had to go back because they, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, Steve Jobs has been pretty private about his personal life, about his family, about his children, about his whatever, you know, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, he has only been a public persona of the company about products and technology. He's not a guy that you see at every award ceremony or every event or, like, you know, is doing an article in GQ or is showing up and everything, say, like Donald Trump, for example, you know, right. Fucking, you know, going around whatever. You know, this is a guy that yes, he is the public persona of the company that he founded. Yes, absolutely. He goes and he talks about the products. He's intimately involved with them. But you don't see him being a public person outside of that. So, you know.
Well, you know, and that brings up – the public-private thing brings up another part, which is – you know, if I was in his position, and this, by the way, is part of the reason I probably never will be, or I, let's be stronger than that, I never will be, is that given that choice, like if I was already, you know, a multi-billionaire, had the level of success he had, and was having health problems, maybe even health problems far, far less than what he's actually got, at some point I would just say, you know, I can be done with this. I'm going to go spend some time with my family and actually honestly say that. Like, you know, people say all the time, he's resigning to spend time with his family. Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah,
but
bullshit.
No. But, you right. know, if I was in a situation where I'd had that level of success and I had precarious health and didn't know how much longer I would last, you know, I probably would prioritize, hey, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with my kids. You know, I'm going to travel a little bit, you know, things like that over, you know, I'm going back to work.
Yes.
However, absolutely. You know, the thing with Steve Jobs is, you know, Apple is his life.
Apple is Steve Jobs. Now, Steve Jobs is Apple. Now, I mean, it's
I'm not saying he doesn't love his wife and family, too. But, you know, he is extremely passionate about what he does. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he could no more leave Apple, you know, behind completely as he could leave his wife and kids behind, you know?
Right.
So, but at a certain point too, you're like, you know, if you've only got a few months or even a few years left and you know that for certain, what do you spend your time on?
Right.
You know, and, you know, I don't know. I know my choice in that situation would not be work, you know? But
I know that you know, depending on the situation, I mean, it will depend. I mean, if I am, I would probably tend to agree that I would not be spending much. I mean, my choice would probably not be work. I have a pretty large extensive wonderful family. I mean, plus a lot of friends. I certainly would enjoy spending my time more like visiting you, hanging out with my friends in other places and doing that stuff and whatever, and like, you know, at least enjoying that time than be doing work. Not that I don't enjoy my job, mind you, I do, but I certainly, you know, I've spent a hell of a lot more time right now on that than with my friends, so I'd rather, you know, shift that preponderance to that.
Yeah.
You know?
So anyway, I guess we wish the best of luck to Steve Jobs and in his current health battle, whatever it may be. And I guess we'll find out what happens over the next few months, years, whatever.
So we'll know about that soon enough, I guess. So
before we move into current Apple results and speculation for the future, let's take a quick break. We will be back after this with some more Apple stuff. We'll be back.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
And here we are.
Okay. So Apple announced that on Monday, which was a stock market holiday, okay? And on Tuesday, they were announcing results. Now, the reason I want to talk about a tidbit about the results was Apple broke out the results and talked about four key segments that they have: the iPhone, okay, iPad, Mac hardware, okay, and an iPod, okay. Now, as you probably expect, iPod sales were about flat.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't, but you know, surprisingly, they were flat. I mean, you know, yeah, so it's not like as opposed to down. Obviously, iPhone sales doubled, okay, year over year. But the one thing that's just incredible, iPad sales, okay?
Mm-hmm.
iPad sales, Apple sold $5 billion worth of iPads.
And that was about 11 million units, I believe.
Yeah. But let me just put into perspective, $5 billion. On a product that was just launched in a category that really
didn't exist.
Okay, all right.
I mean, there were tablets, but they sucked.
There were tablets,
and didn't sell very many.
Right. Now let's put it to you this way: they sold more iPads than they sold in dollar terms than they sold Macs. Okay, in a quarter. All right. Now, and Mac sales grew 22%. Okay. During the quarter. But let me put it into perspective. $5 billion, okay, of iPads. Dell sold total products $12.5 billion in the same quarter. I mean, they created a product that in one quarter almost came to half of Dell's sales. Okay? In one quarter. I mean, I'm sitting and I'm looking at the numbers, and it's just nothing short of just staggering. Okay, how quickly that has caught on. I mean, Apple earned $6 billion in that quarter. Okay, to put it into perspective, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, the most profitable company, or the second most, General Electric. Okay, General Electric in the last quarter only earned $4 billion. HP earned $2 billion in the same quarter. IBM earned $2.5 billion. Apple earned more money than Dell, IBM, and HP combined
mm-hmm.
in the same quarter. Okay? I mean, I was just, holy shit. I mean, you got to think about, I mean, this company was 13 years ago left for dead.
Yeah.
And they just made more money than the three other largest IT companies, okay, combined.
Well, and I'll point out, some people still, you know, and I'm looking at you, Microsoft, still look at them and be like, ah, yeah, but, you know, they only, you know, only like 10% of computers out there are Macs, so, you know.
I mean, are they? I mean, yeah. Well, you know, keep your head buried in the sand, I guess. But you know, let's face it: every damn iPhone that's being sold out there is like a freaking computer. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. And if you actually wanted to talk about computing and the revenue in computing, you got to combine. Honestly, if you look at it, Android phones, all these slates, the laptops, the desktops, all of this stuff is really part of a computing ecosystem. I mean, the products are used interchangeably, sometimes for some of the same tasks. You watch a YouTube video on the iPhone, you watch it here. You read your email on your phone, you read your email on your computer. I mean, the devices have certain different things that are specific. It's like I went to a hospital, for example, and they have these specific devices that are for reading x-rays and doing stuff, these large displays that, you know, appear to be custom tailored to that. But, you know, in this space, these devices are all interchangeably doing the same tasks, just in different environments, okay? And, I mean, I don't know what – I mean, Microsoft can keep their head stuck in the sand, but I don't think they are. I mean, they decided that they're going to shift Windows into the ARM platform right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's showing that they are – the concern's growing. But Apple is just – it's just staggeringly growing so fast. I mean, it's just right now it's on a pace to really – to take over ExxonMobil as the world's most valuable company. I mean, it's – I don't know. I just found it just shocking how quickly and how big they got in such a short amount of time, and how, I mean, enormous the sales of the freaking iPad were in mm-hmm. terms of dollars.
Well,
I mean,
they pointed out that the actual number there blew away practically everybody's estimate of how many of these things they'd sell.
Yeah,
even like the Apple enthusiasts didn't predict this high.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I mean, honestly, it's just stunning. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I keep meeting so many people that own one. I mean, so quickly. I mean, it's just, for God's sakes, I'm like, I you know, another milestone that reached, by the way, Apple Store, that been 10 billion application downloads from the App Store. Okay.
Well, you know, and they had that little promotion where the 10 billionth guy got a $10,000 Apple gift card. And, you know, I know I had a couple people upstairs in this house sitting there watching the countdown trying to buy an app at exactly the right moment.
And, oh, gosh.
You know?
Yeah, I would have tried. If I would have been not that, I mean, if I wish I would have saw that. I would have tried myself.
Somebody in the UK won. But,
okay.
You know, and you know, it's like a cute little promotion, but I'm sure it got more than a few people to sit there and try to click and buy an app, you know?
Sure. So. And you know, now that the phone is coming also to Verizon, and you know, so it's going to be available on CDMA, and they're expanding the availability in the US. I mean, it's staggering to think where they're going to go from here. I mean, Google doesn't make the same amount of money that Apple makes on the on Android. Okay, mm-hmm. They make far less. Okay, per unit. Okay, so I mean. And so just think about the fact that, I mean, Apple maybe Android can maybe, you know, have a lion's share of the number of devices that are out there because they're being built by so many manufacturers. But that still, you know, leaves Apple with a lion's share of the revenue when you build with that manufacturer versus all the others. So I'm still, I mean, it's just, I just find it. I don't know. It's just stunning to me how quickly they've grown.
Yeah, they're going to have the same kind of dynamics as they do in the computer space, which is they may only be 10% of the market or whatever, but because the market's so fragmented, they're still making more than anybody else. And you know, and because the way they structure their margins and such, they're happy with their 10%. I mean, I'm not saying Apple wouldn't love it if it was 20 or 30, but you know, they're not sitting there saying, "Oh my God, this is awful." You know,
well, because a lot of that 90% has to do with commodity PCs that are going into frickin', say, a hospital with 1,000 PCs, an office with 1,000 PCs. You know, that it's market that, you know, the margins are so razor thin, and it's such a commodity sell that honestly, I mean, I've been in that market, and it's ridiculous. I mean, you're bidding with like these 2%, 1% margins on these enormous volume. You're adding no value. I had a CIO that told me, you know what? You know how I buy my next PC buy? I go and I bid it out, and whoever comes – next time I'm buying the laptops, I put out the specs. Whoever comes down the cheapest the next time, that's the one I buy. That's
yep.
it.
Yep.
I mean, do you really want to be competing in that? I mean, it's just – you know, it's retarded. So anyway – so that was the one thing about just the Apple results. I just thought that you know, it just merited to note how staggering the growth has been over this you know, the quarter. I mean, just itself. I mean, forget about the decade. Just the quarter itself is unbelievable. So
okay. Anyway. So thoughts for the future before we wrap up this topic. I think it seems like you're pretty bullish. They're in a very good position coming into the next year. I mean.
Well, I could say that the next 12 to 24 months, I mean, let's face it, I don't see anything right now. I mean, you know, you have the issue with Steve and whatever happens with him and the direction of the company and, you know, who the managers are. However, a key point to highlight, years before when Steve Jobs left the company, there was a lot of turnover and there was a lot of turmoil in the executive ranks at Apple at the time. They had brought in Steve Scully. There was a lot of factions or whatever. This company is not in that situation by any stretch of the imagination right now. There is a very solid team of executives that is working with Steve that has been working there for a number of years. Okay. You know, their turnover at the executive ranks has been low. And so I don't foresee that we would have the same issues now if Steve Jobs were to leave versus if it happened in another time in the company. At least there wouldn't be a concern, I would say, in the next 2 years, at least, say, you know, so that's my take on it right now.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll come back, talk a little bit about Keith Olbermann and some TiVo stuff. Oh, and we had some feedback that was sort of last week, but sort of not. So we'll be back in just a second.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Record 11-13 by Brian Spears. Third in the division. 4.5 games back. Saturday, May 1st. Arizona Diamondbacks at Chicago Cubs, bottom of the 5th, 2:27 p.m. Leads things off with the Cubs down. Duncan Hunter takes the lead in the asshole triathlon. The many faces of Alan Rickman. If Capital One would raise my limit, I'd buy a new computer right now. Away, Doctor Who alert is on. Most of the sausage moved to safety, rolling over it and fouling it. Oh, I'll get the new Sherlock Holmes on Monday. Propositions and our romances. Bring up Marlin. What the hell is a March of the Sombreros? For do I look illegal day? I think I'll sport two middle fingers. The Kentucky Derby is today. How irrelevant slides with a double talents of the middle-aged brain. Late to pre-nerd prom. Drinks with run scores. Give Ramirez. Lara Palooza, holy fuck, it's May. Hitchens replaces Alexi. Huh, might be heading to Gulf Coast to help clean up oil sugars. Got answers, I'll think about writing you a recommendation of veggie burger whopper at the airport. Strand bird at third.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
And here we are. So
before we forget about that feedback,
yeah.
Which obviously, you know, was sitting for a while there. What do we go to that?
Yeah,
that item.
So we had some feedback, which I just, you know, look, I'll be honest. I am I've mentioned before on the show, personal projects of any sort, I have basically not done anything on at all in the last year and a half. And I haven't done very much in the last couple years beyond that. So, like, I've got all these personal projects, like, doing some research on my genealogy, doing some other website stuff, all this stuff. Nothing's happening. I just don't have the time these days. And, of course, one of the things that suffers in there is just email. And my I keep up with my work email as best I can because I have to. It's work. My personal email, I just keep falling further and further behind, honestly. And so, you know, my oldest unanswered email is something like 3 years old now. And I've got
3 years.
Yes, 3 years. 2007, I think. So maybe that's 4 years. I don't know. Anyway, the total volume of email I haven't like dealt with yet. You know, past 20,000 emails recently, I think. And now most of this is stuff I don't actually have to answer, is not personal. I like to think I get to most of the stuff for actual human beings in a fairly good manner. But the reality is I miss some of that as well. And so earlier this week, I was looking through my email archive for something else completely unrelated. And I noticed an email that came in October 2010, from someone who was a comment on Curmudgeon's Corner. And I'm like, oh my God, I missed this completely and totally.
Can't you create like a separate mailbox for Curmudgeon's Corner feedback? Maybe that way we don't this doesn't happen.
I could, but like, you know, we get one
like
piece of feedback.
Like that we get another project. Well, yeah, but at least when we get it, we know about it.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. But we could make a mailbox that you know, both of us could check. Anyway.
Yeah.
Here's the email. Hi. Just listen to the Curmudgeon's Corner. While I don't have a Kindle, the guy in the office next to mine does. He absolutely loves it. But when I ask what he likes best, it's not the convenience or the comments feature. What really gets him going is the old books you can get for free. These are mostly ancient classics and the Wikipedia integration. I don't think he's even bought any books for it. Now I don't have one because I am cheap, and I use the library. Anyway, I hope all is well with you. Bob.
Man, I mean, I don't have one because I am cheap and I use the library. Man, jeez. Okay. I'm like, look, I respect you. You listen to our show and I guess you have some technology to do this, but man, I mean, you know, jeez. Okay. All right. Okay.
I responded and apologized for taking so long to answer. And he got back with, I normally take the T to and from work, which means about an hour each way. Since I get car sick, sometimes reading on the bus, I go with podcasts. So, you know, anyway, so my response to all that is, of course, there are a ton of free books. That's clearly not a Kindle specific thing. That's a, you know, there's a large library of public domain works that are out there for, in electronic format available, you know, for any type of e-reader. And there are also, another thing I've seen happening is you also get new works that aren't in the public domain from publishers of authors that have a series, and they'll put the first one out free to try to hook you, so you'll buy the later ones, or new authors trying to just sort of break in and have people read them by offering things for free. So there's clearly a lot of free stuff. I've mentioned on my blog as well, for me, the biggest thing has actually turned out to be the ability to flip back and forth between devices seamlessly. So, you know, I've got an actual Kindle device. I bought it a few months ago. I've outlined on my blog sort of the, you know, my strategy for when I got it. I got it when more than half of what I was reading anyway was available in that format. But anyway, since I got it a few months ago, by far the most important factor to me has been this flipping back and forth between devices. I've got the device itself, I've got my iPhone, and I've actually got a couple different computers set up as well. And I never thought I would use, even for the slightest moment, reading on the actual computer. But it turns out I have a few times. And you know, it's the feature where, you know, I can be reading on the one device, and then I will use the actual Kindle device when I know I'm going to sit down for like at least 15 minutes, and I'm going to be sitting and reading, and that's going to be my primary activity. But like, if I'm waiting in line in a coffee shop, I pull out my iPhone and I'll open the same book, and it'll know what page I was on, and I continue right up where I left off.
Wow.
And you know, that's the feature I think that I've ended up using much, much more than I thought I would use, and has been sort of the killer feature for me, no matter where I am, no matter what device I'm sitting in front of, my book is available to me.
Okay.
So, Anyway, that's been an interesting part to me, but I won't speak more about that. I know, Yvonne, your wife has been doing a lot of e-reading on her iPad as well. So.
Yeah, she has. But I haven't been doing any e-reading, I must say. But I don't know. I've been quite – this last year, it's probably the worst year in, like, book reading I've had probably, like, ever.
Yvonne, we know this is because you're cheap and use the library.
Yeah, absolutely, of course. Actually, my wife gets me the books because she does work for a bookseller, okay, at a discount, okay, when I want some. I usually will go and I'll just tell her, oh, look, I want this, and so she'll go, she'll pick it up and get it for me. But I just last year, I don't know. I've fallen off a cliff in terms of my book reading. I've had years where I've probably gone through like 10, 20 books, but this last year, I think if I went through one, I don't think I even – no, yes, I did. I did finish that book. I went through like 1.5 books last year. I mean, it was really pathetic, okay? So I don't know. So that's maybe why I haven't been so trying to jump and like get an e-reader so quickly, because I guess my reading has like really like fallen off a cliff.
Well, and this is one of the things I found, though, too, is having this kind of convenience on an e-reader I'm reading more than I was before, because, you know, if you have an actual physical book, even if it's a small paperback that you
got to carry it.
You got to carry it. You got to pull it out. I mean, in this case, like I said, I carry my phone everywhere anyway. And the device is not that heavy. I'll have it around most of the time anyway, but like you have to carry it. You have to pull it out. You have to like do this. You have to do that. And, you know, and yes, the actual like e-reader device I pull out at probably the same kind of places I'd pull out a paperback, although I find myself probably pulling it out a little bit more. But being able to do it on your phone or whatever, that gets all those other little in-between moments.
I think one thing that I've seen about the, I mean about the physical books. Look, I went one of the times that I read plenty this summer was when I went to on vacation in October. Now, I was packing my bag, and I'm realizing I had a couple of books that I was reading through, okay? And, so I wanted to pack two books. And, Jesus, I mean, you know, the books are so fucking heavy. I mean, my Lord. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's quite a package. I mean, two hardcover books. I mean, I wanted to take one because I might finish it and take, you know, because it's happened to me before where I've gotten really enthralled on a book on a trip, and I wound up finishing it, and then, damn. I mean, I don't have another book, so I always try to bring a second one. And I'm like, my wife brought her iPad, and, you know, that is certainly far more convenient just to carry the iPad than to be carrying two damn hardcover books. I can see how, you know, maybe, but, I don't know. Given that the iPad doesn't have the ability right now to switch users, okay?
Yeah.
I'm like,
You need your own.
Fuck. Yeah. Oh, Christ's sakes! You know, yeah, yeah.
Wait till V2. It'll be about the same time now.
I know, So I'll probably wait until then because I'd like more storage than the 64. I think the 64 is quite skimpy. I'd like to have something like more close to like what I have on my hard drive on the computer. Not that, you know.
So anyway, one more thing before we get back on topic that I just wanted to mention as a follow up. We talked a couple weeks ago about the Apple App Store, and Yvonne recommended a product called Contacts Cleaner to clear up my contacts. And I ran it, and I had to make several passes through before it said everything was clean. And I basically, in most cases, I just accepted its recommendations, and I was pretty happy with it. Until I realized later that a number of contacts were missing. So like just while we were recording this podcast, I realized, for instance, Yvonne, your card was completely missing. I no longer have any of your contact information. No phone numbers, no anything. Now, the thing prompted you to do a backup before it started, and I did do a backup, so nothing's lost forever. But like, you know, I went from like some 7,000 contacts to like 1,200 or something.
Wow.
No, 1,700.
Well, that's huge.
And, you know, and there's still lots and lots of contacts here, and there's lots and lots of stuff, but I'm like, you know, my contact card for myself was missing. I've noticed Yvonne's contact is missing. I'm like, okay, who else is missing? And so, like, I'm not sure if I can trust oh, look, my mom's card is missing. I don't have any of my mom's contact information. So I'm like, who else is gone? So,
well, maybe you should go back to the backup because I'm
So I probably need to restore from that backup and
be a little bit more careful when it's asking you questions.
Maybe try again and like ask one by one when it's asking. But then, you know, it's like there's so many it would take forever. And then, you know,
it doesn't take forever. I mean,
I've started out with 7,000 of these. If I have to look at every possible duplicate one by one, it's going to take fucking forever. Anyway, I think I'm going to have to restore from that backup because like all kinds of stuff is missing.
I did not have anything missing. Okay, as far as I can tell, I've gone through it more than once, and I have not seen anything, you know, that's been a problem. So, I'm of course, I didn't have as many as you. I just had in the hundreds, but I did not experience your experience.
Let's see. So that was frustrating for me. I mean, not well, whatever. Okay, so anyway, I'll figure that out later. Okay, address book backup. Let's see, from 110.
All right, we're losing listeners by the second right now. Okay, all right.
Let's move on. I'll worry about that later.
Yes.
And just watch. It will have backed it up in a format that I can't suck back in. I don't know. Anyway. Of course, then I could use Time Machine. Time Machine is wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Keith Olbermann.
Well, he quit.
I think he was pushed.
Well, I think there was a mutual thing. I was reading an article about when he left ESPN. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He had stated at the time, he had wrote a piece in Salon.com, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, basically apologizing to everybody at ESPN for being a jackass. because he admitted that the reason why he was unbearable, you know, he thought everybody was an asshole. And then for years he started thinking about it. He's such an asshole. Well, basically he arrived at that conclusion that he was unbearable because he was such a perfectionist that he thought everything sucked. He was very insecure about his own performance, and then he basically took it out on everybody else. And the one thing is that the pressure of doing a show every day at Sports Center was just killing him. Okay, he really could not handle the pressure of doing a show every day. I'm surprised, you know, by reading that, I was surprised that he stayed that long on Countdown because I'm sure that the pressure of also, I mean, he was doing a daily show over here. Got to be overwhelming again, and it really seemed like, honestly, that it wasn't just so much. Yes, he had those fights with the management, but it seems like he's always had fights with management everywhere he's gone. So this is not like some kind of a magical thing. But I think it also got to a point that they wanted him out, and he wanted out.
Well, I heard some comments that was basically also related to what he did after he was suspended a couple months back.
Right.
And you know, from my brief memory of what was that, I mean, he basically, you know, he came back after the suspension, but he never apologized. He sort of tweaked management for making a big deal out of nothing and that kind of thing. I don't know. It'll be interesting. What I think will be interesting here is actually what does he do next? Now, obviously, apparently his contract has some non-compete stuff, so he can't go jump off to another network. I think this is another example of he is one of those people who could potentially go and start up an independent internet-based operation and have some success with it. And the question is, does he want to? Does he have that drive? Or does he just do, does he go off and do something completely different, or does he wait a year or however long his non-compete has, and then come back to some other network? I think
he'll wait out his non-compete, and that he will get back to TV. But I think that based on what I was reading a little bit, how basically he wasn't looking for this job. I mean, I was like remembering he was running. I mean, he took this job. He was supposed to be there covering for somebody for 3 days, okay? And it wound up turning into this extremely long gig. I think he'll probably look to come back to TV, but I think he'll look to come back in something that is more like a weekly show, not so much a daily show like what he was doing right now. That's based on what I, when I started reading and started digging in further, that's what it seems like would be his ideal. I think you had a combination of friction with management, which he apparently has recognized that he is a master at it. Okay, he's just hates. He just doesn't get along with any management anywhere at all. Okay, This is the worst thing. He even admitted, you know what? Even after he almost like he was, I saw an interview with David Letterman that he said, "Well, why don't you go back there?" Well, you see, some people burn a bridge, right? And so you can rebuild a bridge. You see, me, I burned a river up. So therefore, you know, it's pretty difficult when you go back. I mean, there's no river to build a bridge over anymore anyway, you know? So I don't know where he goes from here.
Yeah, you know, I still think, you know, he probably won't, but it would be great if he took the opportunity to go independent on this kind of thing, because he is the kind of voice with the kind of following that could go independent and do something on his own through, you know, live internet broadcasts, podcasts, etc. You know, one example I think of is Leo Laporte from the old Tech TV. If you remember, there a long time ago there was a cable network, Tech TV.
Yes, I remember that.
And,
I remember Tech TV.
And they had a number of shows. He was one of their star players. A lot of their alumni have gone on to do a number of very interesting things. But when Tech TV was bought by Comcast, I think it was, at some point, and basically they shut it down. They changed the focus. They,
you know, I don't understand why these companies wind up buying a network. Okay. Oh, you know, it's like, oh, I bought this yellow Ferrari. So, oh, let me paint it blue and put a Corvette body kit on it. I'm like, why did you buy the Ferrari in the first place? I mean, I don't understand. Why do you buy a channel that is doing something and then say, oh, I don't like anything you're doing. Let's just do something else.
They made it like more gaming focused. And then, of course, it drifted from there, you know, but anyway, a lot of the people who used to be there either fired or left shortly thereafter. Leo Laporte went off and started a podcast, This Week in Tech. And then over the last few years, he's built it up. There's a whole network of podcasts. They're doing live broadcasts. They're covering all kinds of tech related events. He just announced within the last week that they signed the lease on a new studio facility, and they're, you know, essentially transitioning into producing, you know, producing content that'll be round the clock of various sorts, and they really are turning back into a network, you know, in a very different kind of way, in a very different kind of platform. But, you know, he took the market niche that the major player didn't want and ran with it as an independent and has been very successful. And, yeah, there's lots of opportunity for that kind of thing to happen. And I think Keith Olbermann is in a position where if he said, you know, if he came out a week from now and said, screw NBC, screw MSNBC, screw Comcast, I'm going to continue to do a show. It's not going to be every day. Maybe it is every week. But, you know, here's where you come to get it. You know, he'd have a ton of people, you know, listening, watching right away, immediately on the first day. He could get his own advertisers, etc., and off to the races.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he could. I mean, you know, actually, he's got one of his best friends is Dan Patrick, who used to do all this stuff on ESPN with him. And Dan Patrick also left ESPN a couple of years ago, and he's actually got a show that he's put together like himself like that right now, just not without a network. It is available to some outlets that he's figured out how to broadcast, whether it's the internet or some radio stations, or it's actually even on the 101 channel on DirecTV, and it's basically just a production that he did by himself. So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that if that's what he wants to do, I think that he has the means to do that. Okay. So,
okay. It's time for a break. Let's have a break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about TiVo and then wrap things up. Here we go.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break, this is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
Okay, we are here. We are back. I did want to do one sort of tangential thing. I just saw a note come across on the Daring Fireball blog, which is by John Gruber. He mentioned the Toshiba is coming out with a new tablet, an iPad competitor, and they apparently just put up a teaser website. But apparently it's an all-flash website, and if you browse there, going with an iPad or an iPhone or whatever, what you see is a text message that says the following. Such a shame. Add this to the list of interesting places on the internet you can't see on your device. Of course, if you had a Toshiba tablet, you would enjoy the entire internet. Yep, flash sites too.
Oh, gosh. Which site was this again?
It's for the new Toshiba tablet, and let me get a link for you. Let's see. He posted that comment without posting a link to the actual site.
I think I did see that today. You know what?
It's thetoshibatablet.com.
Okay. Okay.
And if you go there, it's basically one big just flash animation, which, you know, obviously you would not see on an iPad or an iPhone. Oh, it's like singing and stuff. I don't know.
Ooh, it's close. Singing. Okay, all right.
Okay, anyway. I closed that.
All right, okay, all right. No, that's enough.
Okay, okay. So TiVos. You mentioned that your wife was ranting recently about DirecTV not having actual TiVos anymore.
Well,
obviously, I'll just throw in, you know, I just made the move off DirecTV back to real TiVos a few weeks ago. Very happy so far. Okay, what does your wife have to say?
Well, here's what's happened. I mean, look, we first had DirecTV DVR with TiVo, okay, on DirecTV. However, when we moved, having gotten a brand new high-definition television and actually wanting to enjoy more high-def channels than the old DirecTV high-def DVR could provide, because I did get one of the models that supported high-def, for DirecTV.
The TiVo HD DirecTV version, right.
Yes. What happened is that model did not support the new format that DirecTV had to adopt in order to be able to compress enough video on the satellite in order, you know, it couldn't decode it. It just didn't have that. So I said, well, you know, picked up one of the new DVRs, and originally they were horrible. I mean, the device was just horrible. Now, they have, over the last 5 years...
improved.
Okay, improved substantially the software on the device. I mean, substantially. But, you know, my wife and I were talking about this the other day because we were talking about her recording some shows and putting some stuff and whatever. And, you know, she's the one that went off and said, this is fucking ridiculous. The fucking TiVo we had 6 years ago had better software still than this stupid thing we've got from DirecTV right now. And honestly, I went and I reflected on it and said, you're right. That DirecTV, the interface, the way you program the recordings, the just the overall usability, the speed of the interface, everything. The guide, that six-year-old technology is still better than the fucking, you know, thing right now. The only thing this thing adds right now is just the HD channels. Because if you just, you know, if you were able to watch the same channels, and I took my 7-year-old, actually that machine's like 8-year-old freaking DVR that I have down there for IDEF, that DVR was still better. It's pathetic. I don't understand. I mean, it's like, you know, the thing that really kills me about TiVo is how the fuck they developed a technology that was so fucking blows away everybody else, and they just could not get with the fucking cable companies or with the fucking set-top device makers.
And make a deal.
And make a deal.
Well,
and make a fucking deal.
Yeah, and I think from what I remember hearing about it, you know, at the time, a lot of it was just the cable companies and the satellite companies were just like, this isn't that hard. Why would we pay anything for this from somebody else? We can do it ourselves.
Yeah, that it's very obvious they still suck. I mean, I'm like, even Motorola, my God, the Motorola boxes. Oh, my God. Those things are just disgusting. I mean, there is no bigger piece. I went and I'm like, I don't know, I guess Motorola General Instrument, well, now they've got them, they're branded as Cisco, okay? All right? Because I think Cisco bought Scientific Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I was using one of their fucking shit-ass boxes the other day. They suck. I mean, they all suck. I mean, they all come nowhere close to how good a 7-year-old TiVo is. I mean, and I'm like, yeah, it can't be so hard. Well apparently,
and let me tell you, on the new TiVos, they have progressed somewhat in that time too. They you know, they're not perfect, but you know, I got we got 3 TiVo premieres to hook up. So I have one, Amy has one, Brandy has one. So we don't have to worry about, you know, the conflict. They all have the multi-room viewing stuff built in, which is common these days. But like, you can pull stuff off one TiVo to the other. So if somebody recorded it, you can pull it onto yours. The search now integrates. So like, if you search for a show, it'll show you not just what's coming up on your network, but also if that same content is available on Netflix or if that content is available through Amazon Video, in which case, if you want to, you can get it directly from there and pull it in, start watching right then and there. So it integrates both of those services directly into the box very nicely. They've added a whole bunch of stuff with the search. They call it swivel search, so that once you're looking at a show, you can go from there and search for the artists who are in that show or the same subjects or people who like this show also like, and all kinds of stuff like that. It's got lots of nice stuff, and of course it's HD. We you know, I'm gonna sound like an ad here, we took advantage of the opportunity. They have a special that's running through the end of this month where with a multi-year commitment on the TiVo service fees, you can get the TiVo Premier box free. So that's why we picked up 3 of them. The TiVo Premier XL, you still have to pay more for if you want to. But anyway, so, you know, you do have that extra monthly fee that's just for TiVo. But, you know, it's not bad. And it's nice.
Well, let me ask a question. And, you know. I mean, does that allow you? I mean, when you get the TiVo box, I mean, how do you flip through the channels, I guess, is my question. Because I always had the integrated one, the DirecTV. But
yep.
Do you have to have a separate cable box if you had, like, you know, no, say no, you had premium channels?
It's all cable card based. So you get a cable card from your company, you plug it into the back, and it acts like a cable box.
Okay. So you do it with a cable card. Okay. All right. Yeah, oh, okay.
They're all cable card based, and you know, we dumped DirecTV for it, but you know, look, my point of view was always, you know, I got DirecTV initially because they had the best TiVo box.
Right.
They had
a
dual tuner TiVo box, and that
absolutely
did not exist for cable.
That's true.
At the time.
That's
and
true.
So that's why I got DirecTV. The only reason I was on DirecTV rather than cable was because of TiVo. Once they dumped TiVo, you know, my mindset was basically, okay, I'm on DirecTV until my TiVo boxes die.
Right.
And then I'm gone, unless they've brought it back. And there have been a couple of reports of, you know, TiVo and DirecTV making another deal.
I will tell you update because I just read it on the DirecTV website. They do have a deal. They're launching it in the next few months.
Yeah, but that's what they said a few months ago.
Now they just changed the date right now. I was just looking at a recent update in which, yes, it was actually supposed to be late 2010, but now they've changed it. They said that they're running late and that it's going to be early 2011.
Yeah. Okay. And so one of the questions with that, of course, will be, you know, does that combined box have all of the same features, or is it crippled in some way? Because like when DirecTV came out with their boxes initially, what happened was the TiVo DirecTV boxes was that the TiVo kept releasing new feature updates for their standalone TiVos, and they were never integrated into the DirecTVos. So the DirecTVos fell further and further behind. And the word was, it wasn't because the software wouldn't run on the DirecTVOs, it was because DirecTV didn't want those features on its box.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. So, we'll see. We'll see what you know.
And I was in the mode of wait till the new DirecTV TiVo boxes came out. That was where I was heading. But like I was like, we've waited long enough, you know.
No, and, I agree.
And also one of our boxes was dying, and so it was time. But you know, if for you, you know, look, I'd recommend if it really is coming out in the next few months.
Of course, I should have sent you that. Of course, I should have sent you that TiVo box I still have sitting right there on my desk. Well,
if the new one does come out in the next couple of months, fine, wait for it. If not, you should reconsider DirecTV. I know you keep it for the sports package, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, there is no reconsidering DirecTV. I've already. I mean, it's the program. I mean, the main reason I have DirecTV is for the programming, not so much for it. And the fact that they do have more HD channels than Comcast and all these guys, I'll live with the. You know, I'll live with a box that we hate.
You know what I found out? Look, it's close enough. Like there may be more channels here, there may be more channels there, but all the channels I give a shit about are available in HD for the most part. With one exception, there is the PBS Sprout Online channel for toddlers and it is SD only. I don't even think they have an HD version of it. But anyway, for the most part, everything I give a shit about is already HD.
I'm not going there. No.
And see, I don't watch sports.
I know you don't watch sports.
I don't watch sports. Every once in a while, just to be like, I should know what's going on. I'll watch or I'll fast forward through some sporting event, I should say. But I don't watch sports.
Okay.
So that would never be a decision making factor for me. Anyway, there goes the rant on TiVos and DirecTV and such. I hope they get better for you, Yvonne, because you're missing out.
I know. I'm missing out. I'm hoping to get that soon corrected. I am on this list where they're supposed to email me when the damn box is available. So I will guarantee you that I will pick one up as soon as it is available.
Yeah, and just watch. They're going to come out. The integrated DirecTV TiVo box will be better than anything on the standalone, and I'll be like, God damn it, why did I change? whatever.
The thing is that I got
a discounted price by making a two-year commitment or whatever.
You got to remember, the main reason why DirecTV dumped TiVo had nothing to do with DirecTV itself wanted to dump TiVo.
Rupert Murdoch
bought them, and he had that idiotic company in the UK that made this piece of shit box that he used to sell to everybody else, and he said, well, no, you can't go with DirecTV anymore. You got to use this shit. And I mean, if DirecTV management did not like that at all, because they were their customer satisfaction on the DirecTVOs was through the roof. I mean, people were really angry, that when they dumped TiVo. I mean, and people couldn't get the HD channels on fucking TiVo. I mean, this was not a public relations, win for DirecTV and by any stretch of the imagination, but, they got jammed into it by Rupert Murdoch. But since Rupert Murdoch was forced to sell DirecTV, they basically just, we got rid of them. Okay, good. So we could go back to real technology. Okay, great.
Okay. Anyway, that's it. That's it for our show. Thank you everybody for listening. I have not set up a special feedback box for us yet. So it is still abelsmay@abelsmay.com for any questions, comments, thoughts, on the show. Tell your friends to listen. We like listeners. I haven't pulled the stats. I'm way behind in pulling the stats to see how many people are listening. So I have no idea if there are any of you out there at all. We appreciate all of those of you who are out there listening. And we like it when you tell other people to listen too. And that's it. I guess we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.